Aaron's over here. Oh my
God. You can't blame him.
You love school.
We're good? You tell me, Al, you're in charge.
We're ready.
Yeah, I got the green light.
I mean,
okay, last time we were discussing Chatzer, Gina, and Bika. We know that all things being equal, the halacha is that you need to build, two partners are required to build a wall between their, you know, newly apportioned properties between one another. That's true in Chatzer and that's true in Gina. Let's just get that on the record for a minute by going back to the Mishnah. Let's have someone read, right? That the halacha is that you need to build a wall between, you know, properties in a Chatzer and properties in a Gina. Michael, do you want to read first? You have the Mishnah?
In the beginning?
Yeah. Let's just get that on the record to make it clear.
Shutfin?
Yeah.
Hashutfin, Shretzalas, Mechitza, and Chatzer. So partners who wanted to build a Mechitza in a Chatzer, Bonin, as a cult of the Hemza, they build the wall in the middle. Mako Shenagel Livnos, Gagel Gazis, Kvitzin, and Bonin.
So then it goes through, after establishing that the wall must be built, certain types of materials that will be used for that wall, and that's based on Minag HaMakom. Gvil, Gazis, pretty strong materials that prevent Hezek Re'ia very well. It's not exactly for now, although I'm going to bring to your attention again the point, because it will soon be relevant, that the Mishnah only mentions Minhag when it comes to the material of the wall, but when it comes to the obligation to build the wall itself, what does it say? You have to build a wall. So we'll skip that little part for now. So that's the din by Chatzer. You have to build a wall. Then let's get to V'chein Begina, because that's just what our focus is right now.
V'chein Begina, so to Negina, Makom Shenagel Ligdor, in a place where there's a minhag to build defense. V'chayim Noto,
So what would happen in a case, in a place where there, in a place where there's no minhag in either direction? Sounds like you wouldn't have to build a wall. That's what the Mishnah says. We'll see the Gemara in just a minute. Aval Bibika. And what if there's no minhag either way? It's a stam. In a bika. We would be obligated or we wouldn't obligate him? Based on the Mishnah. It sounds like we would obligate him. I'm glad everyone's hesitant because of last time.
No, it should have said that if we're assuming like this, like kind of like we're making the same type of assumptions from Gina as we are.
But in the opposite direction, right?
So why didn't you say the same direction?
Meaning say Gina.
Even more.
Right, meaning the Aval should go on Gina.
Yeah.
Meaning Begina, when the Minhag is to build. But if it's not the Minhag, you're saying, then don't build.
Yeah, I mean, it should have just said for both of them.
Yeah, good.
If it's high,
it sets them up in a funny way.
Yeah.
Good, that's the Gemara's question. That's exactly, we're going to see the Gemara in just a minute. So it sounds like from the Mishnah, you have to build a wall in Chatzer. It doesn't even mention Minhag. When it comes to Gina, according to the Mishnah at least, on the surface, Gina, a regular Gina, there needs to be no wall, and in a regular Bika, there does need to be a wall. That obviously is against the things the Gemara already on Beis HaMabez was assuming. We discussed this last time, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing again. But based on Beis HaMabez, as Tosfos and the Rishonim already point out, the assumptions the Gemara is working with there, which treat Gina more severely than Bika, don't seem to be like the Mishnah on the surface presents. Right, everyone with me? But instead, it's actually Aliba de Maskana on Dalet Amud Aleph, how in the end, the Mishnah is assessed. So let's just read that Gemara quickly. It's relevant. Again, right now we're just trying to document what the Stam case, the default is in these three venues, really in the two venues of Chatzer and Gina. We're reading Gemara for that purpose, but also, as we'll see, we're getting kind of two for the price of one, because it's going to be very relevant to what we're just going to be discussing mostly tonight. So let's have someone else read the Gemara on Daf Dalet. Anyone want to volunteer? Lewis, you have a Gemara?
I don't have.
Okay, so let's have someone else read. Sammy, want to read? Dalet Amud Aleph.
Isn't the line starts with
V'chein Begina? So that's the Mishnah, right? So Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha. What does Hagufa Kasha usually mean?
It's like going back on previous questions.
That what?
Going back on previous question. Or like we're contradicting.
What's the translation of Hakufa Kasha? It's like this itself is a Kasha. So it sounds like it's like an internal contradiction. Hakufa Kasha. So what you can guess. I don't know if you saw this Gemara yet. Have you seen it? So what do you anticipate based on the quotation of the Mishnah that this Kasha is going to be? What do you guess? So I'll have you read it. I don't have to make you guess. Hakufa Kasha. Amris. Hastama. That the implication is that in Astam Gina, there's no Chiyuv.
Yeah.
Hashta.
What's the difference between a Gina and a Stam Gina?
Oh, Gina just means garden. The question is what's the role of Minhag in Gina? Is the Minhag Hamakom to have built fences between Ginas? Or is there no Minhag? In which case, the halacha needs to step in and define what the automatic default assumption, absent any minhag, is.
So, a stam gina would be in a place where they don't...
Exactly. There's no prevailing, clear custom. That's what stam... Meaning, that's where the halacha, so to speak, really shows its true self. Because when there's a minhag, the halacha is saying, we'll farm out the responsibility, the obligation, to whatever the custom is. But in a stam case, the halacha is then saying, well, you have no minhag, so what do we think? Again, it's like a funny way to say it. But what does the halacha think should be the default in this kind of place? Notwithstanding the fact that given a certain minhag, we'll give the town that flexibility. So that's going to be very important in terms of the halacha showing what its true colors are. The fact that minhag even works to begin with is obviously an interesting question that we all want to figure out. What is the relationship between halacha and minhag? Really cool, really important, very wide-ranging question. But what the Gemara here is trying to figure out is, so in Gina, apparently, there is some role of Minhag, but Stam, we're trying to figure out, when absent any Minhag, what is the Halacha? Where there's no clash, basically. So Hastama Eima Chayvin Oso, that's the implication of the Mishnah. Eima Seifa.
Eima Seifa Amal Halacha.
Which implies stama. Hastama. What's the implication? Just that we read it, right?
Yeah.
So what's the kasha? This continues the Gemara, now explaining. In Stam Gina, again, you're not chayv in Stam Bika, you are. Hashta, says the Gemara. Stam Bika, Mibaya? If in a bika you don't need a wall, how could it ever be that in a stam bika you do need? What is the assumption of this question, Sammy?
It's that
what?
In a bika there's no one really around.
Exactly.
Like if you're in a gina, which you're like literally next to someone, like how small are you?
Amazing, says Rashi, exactly what you said. Hashta stam gina amarta lo, or amrislo, I never know how to read that. Afal pi. You see that, Rashi?
Exactly.
Four words.
Oh. Ava Pisha Hezek Raisa Kasha.
Even though Hezek Ria in a Gina is worse than in a Bika. So how could it be basically that the implication of the Mishnah goes against what we really know the true din to be? It can't be. There must be then, and this is like an interesting case where Svara forces us to reread black text that's black on white. The text is Baruch Kashemesh. It's like very clear the direction it goes in. But we're saying, based on logic, it can't be that the basis for Kosel, which is Hezekiah, being worse in Gina than in Bika, is going to produce the opposite result. Can't be. So we basically have then two interpretations of how to read the Mishnah as follows. One is Abaye, and one is Rava. Let's just skip Abaye for the moment. It's just not so... relevant for the time, and we don't have that much time. Let's just give Ella Amar Rava. Do you see that? Just skipping a little bit. Rava suggests how to read the Mishnah.
Ella Amar Rava, Hafki Ktani Vichain Stam Gina, Kimakom Shinar Gulagador.
Dami, Umechayvin also. So, how to read the Mishnah? You want to finish it? You could finish it also, and then tell me how to read. Aval Stam Bika.
Stam Bika, Kimakom Shalo Negu, Dami Vain, Mechayvin also. So, to place that. That they do
in a case of Stam Gina where there's no Minhag, We treat it as if
they still do.
We treat it. What does the Gemara say? We treat it
ke as if it's minagum.
Oh. Completely flips it. But by bika, a stam bika is like a place where the minhag is not. So you wonder a little bit, like, why even mention minhag at all? But either way, what the Gemara is telling us is that a stam gina is kemakom, shenahagu ligdor dami, and therefore you are chayiv to build a wall. But stam bika, kemakom shelo nahagu dami, and you are not chayiv to build a wall. That is the maskana of HaGemara. So when it comes, again, to chatzer, stam, you build it, gina, you build it, Bika, you don't need to. We explained last time why the halacha in Bika might be different, for sure, than Chatzir, but also than Gina. Does anybody remember, people remember that from last time?
Was it the thing where you only have a field there once a month?
Exactly. Tosus is Kasha. Why is Bika different in a default, in the regular case? We explained different suggestions, the way that Ayin Hara works, so on and so on. All things being equal, though, when it comes to Chatzir and Gina, you do need to build a wall. And an interesting fact we should pick up from having done Daf Dalet and Aleph, I said we're trying to get two things out of one, is the implication of Daf Dalet in terms of a minhag shelo livnos by Gina is what? What if the minhag in a Gina is not to build? Would we say they don't need to build a wall or not? What would you say from the implication of the Gemara and Daf Dalet?
They don't need to build a wall.
They don't. Yeah, 100%. And it's because it says that stam gina is kimakom shenahagu livnos. But if the minhag is shalo livnos, that would certainly seem to justify, you know, passivity on the parts of the two, you know, gina owners. And you wouldn't need to build a wall. We'll see that that's important in just a minute. But all things being equal, the halacha is that in chatzer and then in gina, you require a wall. In bika, you do not. That is the halacha. Now this brings us, you know, to our, the question that we'll probably spend the majority of the evening on, which is basically, what is the din by makom shenahagu lo livnos? We know that when it comes to a regular case, hezek re'ia, ayin hara, are kinds of things that will obligate someone to build a wall. But what happens when you have an entire, entire city or community that decides that they're not going to accept the minhag, they're not going to build walls. They don't do that. So what exactly is the halacha? We seem to have evidence when it comes to Gina, at least as far as Daf Dalet Amud Aleph goes, that you wouldn't need to build a wall. But what about by Chatzer? What about two people's courtyards, which are right outside their homes? They spend plenty of time, I'm going to keep going back to this, you know, Rov Tashmishan Shel Adam B'Chatzer. What happens if people just want to write it out of the bylaws, no chiyuv, to build a wall? What exactly is that? So we find, and I felt it, we find basically a machlokas between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rasha. Rabbeinu Yonah, of course, was a cousin of the Ramban, both in Girona, you know, in modern-day Spain. And the Rashba was a Talmud of both Rabbeinu Yonah and of the Ramban. Rabbeinu Yonah takes a very strong position on this issue, less strong than the Rashba, as it were, but still a strong position on the topic nonetheless. It's warming up, thank you. Or maybe it's just the Torah, but I think it's warming up. So do people have the source sheets? So let's turn our attention to Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah tries to address this question. The reason that we're doing this now, there are many reasons, but the last time we met, I think we spoke about the hierarchy of Chatzer and Gina. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Which one's worse? Which one's better? What that depends on? Maybe it's a more complicated question because they both have both. They both are dealing with, you know, similar factors. And the question is which one qualitatively has more. This issue is going to be based largely on that question. Why do I say that? What I mean is the question of whether makom shenagu lo livnos in chatzer, whether or not we say that's effective or ineffective, is going to be based on whether it's worse or better than gina. Because the simple thing is, I mean, in Svara, of course, that's irrelevant, but also because of the Gemara. We have a clear Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph that tells us What does it tell us? That makom shenagu lo livnos, if the community doesn't want to observe hezek ri'iya, they can. So if gina is worse than chatzer, and nevertheless you can do that, you would say kol shekein chatzer. But if chatzer is worse than gina, you have no raya from the sugya of Dalid, and you need to dig deeper for other
answer,
proofs.
Couldn't the answer just be that they have different types of hezek ri'iya? Gina was the minus ayin or something?
If that's the case, then we'd basically be saying that chatzer is worse than gina in terms of this question.
Yeah.
Which would be a way of basically countering the argument that says makom shelo livnos in gina is no raya basically for chatzer. But that's why it's immediately relevant to what we're discussing. But it has much broader relevance for a lot of things we've been discussing until now, which I hope to elaborate like as we go further. So let's get the shitos down. So Rabbeinu Yonah basically begins, I don't know, where did I give you guys on the Rabbeinu Yonah? What's the first word? Umasnisin?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Umasnisin bi'ir chadasha. We have someone else right now. We got, you know, Michael and Sammy in. Louis, you have the sheet? Okay. Umasnisin bi'ir chadasha. So the Mishnah's case when I'm talking about Chatzer is in a new city, Mazel Tov, right?
Is that something that we can just assume?
No, it's his assumption.
Okay.
So what's he assuming the case of Chatzer in the Mishnah is about?
People that just decided to build.
Or where there's it's conflicted. You know, there's a heated debate over what the minhag is. That happens sometimes in a lot of places, especially if you go to like shuls. If you're part of like a shul that has people that have been there for a long time, there are always like debates between the older members, like what the shul's minhag really is. Like, oh, you know, we don't have someone daven for the Amud on Rosh Chodesh. We do have someone who's, you know, daven for the Avel, daven for the Amud on Rosh Chodesh. All sorts of things. Raging, minhagim, slichos, before chatzos, all sorts of issues. In terms of what the minhag of the city, that's basically this case. Either it's an ir chadasha or the minhag, there are no bylaws, it's Torah Shebaal Peh, and people don't know what exactly the minhag is. So that's where, the Ashmin and Tana de Masnisin. That's where the Mishnah says, the halacha is, each person can force his friend. But here is the rub. Aval b'mako. Where the minhag amakom is not to build walls, she'ein makpidin al hezek ri'iya. They're not makpid. They don't care about hezek ri'iya. Ein mechayvin oso livnos. There's no chiyuv. You can't force your friend to build a wall between you. Rather, you live side by side. That's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah. Elim ratza. If a guy wants, he can be kones l'soch shelo.
That's crazy.
And what's his raya? And now we know this, Baruch Hashem, because Sammy, very nicely, thank you, read for us. By Gina, we pass. Sorry, I'm taking over. Even though the Stam in Gina is to build a wall, they can choose, the society that is, to not. Mishem Hezek Ri'iya, Uvi Gemara. Right, and apparently the one who thought Hezek Ri'iya Shmei Hezek thought that Gina was a similar issue, which is why we brought a raya from Gina to Chatzer. But even more than that, the Gam, this is a key line. Oh, it's even worse, Gina, than Chatzer. Because even the one who thinks Lav Shmei Hezek holds that there's Hezek Ri'iya in Gina, even though that person thinks there's no Hezek Ri'iya in a Chatzer. So even Lemaskana, Gina is much worse than Chatzer. Even Lemanda Amr, Hezek Ri'iya, Shmei Hezek. And if that's the case, then whatever we find to be a Kula in Gina is for sure going to be a Kula in the less severe Chatzer. That is the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. Of course, though, we noted already that you can argue on that point. What can you say to that point, Moshe? To his argument that you can learn from the Shakta Vitaryan Beis, Gina to Chatzer.
Well,
What would you respond, basically, if you wanted to be a contrarian?
He's
assuming that even the Man D'Amar Shmei Hezek accepted the response of the Man D'Amar Lav Shmei Hezek. In other words, the Man D'Amar Lav Shmei said, don't bring me a raya from Gina that you need a wall in Chatzar, because Gina's worse. And we never heard back from the Man D'Amar Shmei Hezek, who holds that you do need to build a wall in a Chatzar. So what does that leave us? Where do we stand? You could say, because the reason he holds there's Hezekri and a Chatzar, it's because he thinks Chatzar is just so much worse than Gina. Or you can say, no, he does agree that Gina may have a reason to be more Machmir, but nevertheless, I still think there should be a Chi of Kosel and Chatzar. So Rabbi Yon is assuming which one of those sides? The second. He's assuming that Gina is more Chamor, even Lemaskana. Even though we Paskin Hezekri and Shmei Hezek. This is as we discussed last time. It's a little bit tricky, but again, it goes back to the two ways of reading the Maskana, the off the page. You know, Maskana on Beis and Beis. Where in the hierarchy Chatzer lies, even Laman D'Amar, Hezek Ria, Shmei Hezek. Rabbeinu Yonah clearly thinks that Gina remains Chamor Yoser, Mei Chatzer. So that's the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. Makom Shelo Nagu, if it even works in Gina, especially it works in Chatzer. But let's just continue, because a very closely related matter, is where you do have to build a wall, what kind of wall, how much flexibility do you have when it comes to the type of wall you want to build. In the Mishnah lays out four different types of minhagim that would exist. Gvil, Gazis, Kfisa, and Ulevenim. Pretty strong walls. You're talking about stones and bricks. Three tvach, six, you have a good degree of thickness. And as we know, a four amma high, we know that from the Rambam, from some Mishnayos, from Gemaras, a four amma high wall with a pretty good width and very solid, lasting material. So the question is, can the minhag, what about a minhag, to do even less than that? Very closely related issue, because right now we're speaking about what happens if the minhag amakam is not to build a wall at all. Usually you have to build a wall. What if the minhag is not to? Now we have another issue, is what about in the context of a place that does build a wall, is there room for a minhag to define the parameters of what kind of wall you're allowed to build? In other words, can you build a wall that's less strong, less thick than the wall in the Mishnah? So this is where Rabbeinu Yonah jumps in. It's a closely related issue, and I'll make the point in a minute why it's immediately relevant to us right now. Venira Be'enai. Yeah, Lewis, you got a question?
Whatever we set up until this point, once you ask this question, you have to assume that the chi of the Hezek Ria is not Mishum Tznusa.
Unless it is, in Gina.
No, meaning you can't ask the question, you can't ever say, Malkum Shonagu, that you can have, meaning that was the Rosh we saw earlier. How can you
That's
say
the question. I think I know what you're asking. That's exactly the question I want us to think about. I'm going to pose it to everybody in a minute. You'll tell me in a minute if it's what you're asking. Okay? I'll cue you. Because it's not going to sound the same as I think you're suggesting. But what Lewis is just saying, I'll say now for just a minute on it, is just whether or not you're allowed to not care about Hezek Ria, does that depend on how we understand what we understand the issue of Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek and the need to build a wall to be? I think, Sammy, this is something you feel very strongly about, which is good, because Rabbeinu and the Rashba feel very strongly about this issue as well. It's like, the more you think Hezek Ria is like in the world of Isurim, you can't just write away an Isser. If you think it's about Dine Mavinus, so we know, you can give all your money away. It's not a wise idea, unless it's a charity. Still, probably not a wise idea. You know, Al Yivazvez Yoser Mechomesh. You have responsibilities people look after. Don't give away all your money. But you can decide to be damaged and to be mochal the money. Money is something that is talui bi. You can decide as you wish. But Isurim, you have no jurisdiction over. You can't decide whether or not you're going to be makbid on Isurim. That's the Ribono Shel Olam's decision, and the Chachamim as like the mediators of the Ribono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael, but not communities. I don't care how chashuv, you know, the Yoshvei Ha'ir, the Rabbanei Ha'ir are. So that you're, what you're saying is exactly what we want to know. We want to know why, what motivates this machlokes. Why do you have Rabbeinu Yonah on one side of it, who says, even in a chatzer, kol shekein migina, makom shelo lahakbid, livnos, you know, what's his lashon? Ein mechayvin oso. You're allowed to do that. And what motivates the Rashba we haven't yet seen, who says, no chance, you can't do this, not possible. This is exactly what we need. In fact, I think, though, you're assuming a little bit too much. So let's see this closely related issue. V'nira be'enai, who is reading? Okay, Moshe has the sheet, so Moshe, you'll continue for us. Erez is on the docket. It looks like we're doing, you know, circular rotation. Get ready, Erez. Oh, so in a new city, what can't they decide? They can't decide what kind of wall. Again, what did we say? The Mishnah is a case where there's no clear minhag, right? So what kind, in this community, this Ir Chadasha, or this place where the minhag's unclear, in this community, what kind of wall do the flexibility do they have? So says Rabbeinu Yonah, they have to build the things in the Mishnah. They're not allowed to say, Agdor Imcha Behutza Vedafna. Hutza Vedafna are like branches and leaves, like date twigs, that the Gemara on Daf Dalid says there's the flexibility of using. Let's quickly just get it on the record. It's one line. The Mishnah said, quickly back to the Mishnah, that Shutvin Sharatu Lasas Mechitza Bechatzer Bonin as Akotza Be'emta Makom Shenagu Bechule. And then the key lines is, after it says what you can build, Hakol Kiminag Amedina, resounding words that reverberate in the poskim throughout the generations. Everything is based on the minhag of the country. Hakol kiminhag amadina, says the Gemara, as we always find in Mishnah. When you ever have a hakol after a prat, it told us what things you should use. And then it says, oh yeah, hakol kiminhag amadina. Whenever you have that, oh, hakol l'siyemai, Megillah, right?
Which?
By katan. Whenever it says hakol kiminhag amadina, you have a lot of hakols in Megillah. Hakol chayavin,
yeah.
Hakol l'siyemai. So Hakol, the Yisuyimai, says the Gemara, Andal Ben Aleph, it's like in the middle of the page, by the Vav. There should be a Vav in the on the Yisuyye. Everyone with me? Everyone see it? Dalad Ben Aleph?
Modern day examples
of what?
Of like this.
Minhag HaMedina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Lubavitch.
Oh, we'll get back to, we'll get.
In Yerushalayim.
We'll get to those. Hakol, the Yisuyimai, everyone with me? It's like there's a vav. You can spot the vav. Look for the vav. It's like an annotate. It's like a footnote in the Ein Mishpat. Hakol, it's like by two dots. Hakol kiminhag amadina is the first three words on the line.
Hakol
suyimai. Yeah. Okay, so read it for us. Hakol. What does it mean? Hakol kiminhag amadina.
I don't know the translation. Hakol suyimai.
Hakol includes liisuyimai. What does it include? Asra, a place. Which has the minhag, with this lower grade, you know, less permanent wall, which is just like a bunch of palm, you know, twigs that have, you know, branches with their leaves, you know, like interwoven throughout, like a very simple kind of a fence. Now, obviously, I should just note, while it's standing, it has to solve the problem of Hezekiah. Otherwise, it isn't much of, you know, very much of a good wall. But the whole idea is that the Mishnah sets forth relatively rigorous standards for a wall. But then when the Mishnah says, but Hakol kiminhag amadina, it gives even greater flexibility to minhag to allow you to have a lower level, more minimal kind of a wall, which is Hutzav Adafna. There's a big question in the Rishonim if like Hutzav Adafna is just an example, but you can even go lower than that. Or Hutzav Adafna is like the minimalist wall that prevents Hezekiah. So assuming that it does protect the people from against, you know, Hezekiah, Hutzav Adafna works. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, going back, that in this new city that has no minhag, where the Mishnah says you're chayev to build a wall, they can't use the lower level wall of Hutzav Adafna. That requires that it actually be an age-old custom of the community. Then, if it's a minhag, the community can go less. Right? But, Elabonin Kosel Shebipacho Shebiksalim, B'mishnah b'kfisin olivenim. This new town, which has no minhag, they have to use a higher level, the ones listed in the Mishnah. That's why they're in the Mishnah. It explains that the case of the Mishnah is a city with no minhag. That is exactly what he says. Tibimakom she'ein sham minhag lo sagi behachi. It doesn't work if there's no minhag. Now, what's the relevance of this? The relevance of this is to tell you the following. If Rabbeinu Yonah thinks that in a new community, a new country, where there's no minhag, they cannot avail themselves of a lower grade putzav edaf the wall, albeit one that does solve the problem of ezek re'iyah, but he thinks they need to use the higher level wall of gvil, gazis, tfis, and levenim, he clearly isn't someone who thinks we should slack off when it comes to ezek re'iyah. He is a man of standards, we would expect no less, from Rabbeinu Yonah, and he thinks that the standards and the kinds of walls you can use are significant. Ad kedei kach, in a new community, they need to use these kinds of walls. We don't just give away heterim to use chutzav edafna. So, as Rav Rosenzweig pointed out at the time, it's just interesting to note the juxtaposition between the two comments. In the first comment, he talks about how a community can decide to do away with Hezek Ria altogether. And then the next comment, he's more machmir about the type of wall we require where other Rishonim are not. So it's important to know Rabbeinu Yonah was no slacker, was no person who underestimated the value or the significance of Hezek Ria when it came to Jewish communal life. So we'll get back to that in explaining what exactly is motivating this very strange shita, right, of Rabbeinu Yonah, who thinks that bein lechatzer, bein legina, you don't need to have the minhag basically can do away with the chiyuv kosel makom shein makpidin behezek riyah. Good, that's Rabbeinu Yonah. Can you contrast that for a minute with the shita of the Rashba? As I said, the Rashba feels very strongly about this. I wanted to make sure to bring the books. I often find that somehow, like, the book personifies, you know, the Rishon. Like, when you think of Rashba, you think blue. Like, you just think of the Musada of Kook. Like, the Rashba was like a blue type of, you know, you connect. Because, of course, as we understand, Torah's Chaim, it's a living Torah. You know, they're with us here. So I felt like it was appropriate. Usually the sheet's good enough for me, too. But I felt today we should all together rally around these the Rashba and Rabbeinu Yonah. So the Rashba...
didn't we say, like a long time ago...
argues with this very much after quoting Rabbeinu Yonah. Yeah, what was that?
A long time, but you know that you have to build a wall anyways, so the plants don't intertwine.
By Mechitza Zakarim?
Yeah.
Well, that's if you have things where there's a chashash for kilayim. But you don't usually have that. Things usually go straight up. But if there are grapes there, then you have more of a concern. But good question. What? People have the Rashba?
Yeah.
So let's give, I don't know what I gave you in the Chidushim. Yeah, so he there, Ikam Mirabosa, it's not such a nice way to talk about your Rebbe. Like there are those who, Rebbeim, who say, he's talking about Rebbeinu Yonah. But maybe he does that so that when he disagrees with him, he's not like, you know, naming his antagonist. I don't know. Anyway, so he basically then says, skip ahead, Ve'ein dinam yafe ve'ein ayeres. You have it? Everyone have it? Okay, the Indian of Yafa Be'inai. Did I bold it or something?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm like, everyone got that really quickly. The Indian of Yafa Be'inai.
Right.
Why would we say that? Because of? That, well, what evidence? What evidence? Even if you want to say that in Gina, a Makom Shenaga, you don't have to build. Why would we say that? What? The Gemara. Was that a confusing way of asking it? Even if you want to say that in Gina, meaning the Rashba is going to say, I agree with you. When it comes to Gina, you're right, I can't disagree. And we have to explain that. Like, we shouldn't leave Gina, you know, high and dry. Like, why in Gina can they decide Makom Shelo Nahagu, you know, to do away with it? After all, in a Stam case, the halacha is, the regular halacha is you have to build a wall. So why can they choose to not care? But let's even say, for a minute, says the Rashba, that by Gina you can do that. Makom shelo nagu livnos, ein mechayven oso. Why would we say that? Because it's a Gemara, mifureshes. That's why the Rashba would say that. At least that's the Bavli's opinion. Nevertheless, now here's which is very relevant to what we've been discussing all along. Why? You could even tell me before you see it. Because how does the Rashba understand the hierarchy? Chatzah is worse. Ah, says the Rashba. Below Amru Bigimara. Ella. Fascinating. The hierarchy was Gina Chatzer, only according to the Manda Amar. Aval. That what?
It's Vada Chatzer Chomerzek. So meaning only according to the Manda Amar of Rav Shmei
Hatzer, where is Gina higher?
No, but like Gina, yes, we have is Gina higher, but by Manda Amar Shmei Hatzer, we're even Chatzer Chomerzek.
Which is fascinating. It's a fascinating idea that like the hierarchy reverses depending on whether you say Hezek Riyash May Hezek or not. Although, as we explained already, that there could be good ways that we've suggested for ourselves of explaining that. Yeah, it's a strange thing.
It doesn't make sense.
That's Rabbi Yonah's point, that it doesn't make sense. No, but the Rashi is saying...
I don't know, last time I didn't agree
with Rabbi Yonah.
Yeah, you didn't agree with it because we did, I think, such a good job explaining, I think, if I can say this, as that we defined very clearly why you might say it. Because it depends on what you think the real problem in Gina is and what the real problem in Chatzar is. Right?
Yeah.
Good. But this is exactly the question. So the Rashba here tells us that halakha lemaisa, Chatzar is worse than Gina, so you have no raya from Gina. Elamai, in Gina, makom shenagu lo livnos, you can do it, but not in Chatzar. Because vadai Chatzar chamir etzeh. But the Rashba doesn't explain to us, in the Chidushim at least, why that would be the case. He doesn't tell us why that would be the case, that in Gina you can, which is something where Rabbeinu Yonah didn't tell us about in either scenario, right? Rabbeinu Yonah never told us why you'd be able to do this. Everyone with me?
Yeah.
And the Rashba doesn't tell us why you could do it also in Gina. But he also, what we really want to know is, what is it about Chatzer that it shouldn't be subject to Minhag HaMakom Shelo
Livnos? Why is it that Gina takes precedence in Lav Shmei?
What?
Why is it Gina takes precedence in Lav Shmei Hezek?
I think what we suggested was, the easiest way to say it is because he only acknowledges the problem of Ayin Hara, which is worse in Gina, because of all the vegetation. But when it comes...
So that's why Ayin Hara would apply.
Well, Ayin Hara only applies in Gina, but not really in Chatzer.
And Shmei Hezek does not apply. And if you go by Lav Shmei Hezek,
yeah, yeah.
Ayin Hara still applies.
Right, but if you hold Shmei Hezek, you think it's about Hezekriah, and there's worse Hezekriah in Chatzer than in... Right, that's how we explained it.
Can you go back to like everything we've been saying?
To explain the Rashba now, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that what? That what?
It's Hezek Adam Be Adam. It's like Kikuchu Bezek Kisei. Like, it's... By Chatzer, it's intrinsically worse than by Kino, which is your mom.
So why couldn't you be... Why couldn't a community decide to write it out? You're saying Gina is more about Mamon.
Right.
I'm just looking for you to say more in Chatzer. I want even more than that. To explain the Rashba. That's true. That's why in Gina, for everyone with Moshe, in Gina you'd be able to do it because it's just your Mamon. That's fine. The community, the country can decide to do away with that. But what is... Hezek Re'iyah of a Chatzer. What is the strongest expression of religious value that we imputed to that approach? Gidar and Shal Yisrael. It's Kedusha. It's Goyer. It's Shechina. And who of all the people, thank you, is the one that says that? The Rashba. Lishitaso. So the Rashba... You know, makom ani, you know, dvarim aniim b'makom echad. He doesn't tell us what he hinks in the chidushim, but ashirim b'makom echad. Let's open up the Rashba. It happens to be the next source on your page. The Rashba in the Chuvos, Chelek Beis, Simon Kuf Samaches, famous Rashba we already saw at least, I think, one time inside, was basically asked the question, you know, from a Shoel, like, what's the deal with minhag? What's the role of minhag in halacha? That was the question. You could imagine that has many different permutations. It depends on what you're talking about. Right? Where can minhag, you know, supplant halacha? So anyway, in that context he discusses, I have this in the Likutei Rishonim of Baba Basra, good saver to have, quotes like all the tshuvos and different things that are relevant to the Masechta. I'll say it right off. He basically says that when it comes to the minhag ha-makom of not observing hezek ri'iya, in a chatzer, that's a minhag b'taos ve'eno minhag. And he explains why that is the case. Let's have someone read. Who wants to discuss the readings? Umikol makom. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, let's read. Umikol makom, everyone inside. One of the most important rashbas you'll see of the year.
Umikol makom, in any case. Imnagu shalula hakbit klal al
ha... Hezek ri'iya.
Hezek ri'iya. Sh'ala basim v'chatziris.
On houses, now he includes homes. Hezek ri'iya in a house, obviously we can imagine, is much more, you know, sensitive, is much more dear to us, even than chatziros, right? Someone's home is like his sanctuary. Wow. Biting words in the Rashma. Mm. This is no minhag that will sustain. She'ein mechula.
She'ein mechula ha'kpada.
Because ha'kpada is not nitan the mechila.
Elam b'bimunas. She'adam rashai.
Exactly as Moshe said. Only in the world of finances. That a person can litein ha'shalo. Or be damaged in his property. Aval. Here are the words. I can't believe you don't have a sheet right now. I can't believe it. Aval, you should honestly look on with someone. Aval eino rashai. A person doesn't have the right to lifrok, to cast away the gidaran shal yisrael, the protection, you know, the extreme geder, right? Geder is a lashon of chavivus,
right?
When you have a fence. The fence of Israel, v'shal linhog b'tznias, to not accustom themselves with tznias. And what's it like? Ukit. It should say kit. A community that decides to wipe out Hezek Ri'iya from its laws is like a community that is mistalik Shechina mi Yisrael.
It's kind of what I was saying.
The Shechina is
last week.
Yeah, I know. Exactly this is. I was hoping that you would say something. Yeah, it was exactly.
I mean, I was going to go as far that it's like killing the Shechina.
You're making the Shechina remove. He's abhorred by like what's going on here, and then the Rashba continues to go on, basically to quote the Mishnah on Daf Samach, Bilam lo yiftach adam chalonosav lechatzer hashutvin, mino animili, and then he quotes the pasuk, Vayisa Bilam es enav, Vayares Yisroel, Shochein leshvatav. The Gemara says, what did Bilam see? That they were, they ain pischei mechuvanim zelazer, ru'iyin elu shetishru shchina b'neihem. So this is the Shitas HaRashba, basically, to explain why this is untenable, this cannot be. So let's just basically conclude. I think we're already, I'm going over time. I do want to respect finals. I'm just one more line. By Gina Ubika, he says, when it comes to the Mishnah, the reason the Mishnah doesn't mention minhag, when it comes to the minhag, when it comes to the Mishnah only mentions the relevance of minhag when it comes to Gina and Bika. Because those things are subject, as the Rashba says, to the minhag hamakom. But chatzer is unequivocal. It's objective. No minhag can take it away. To the contrary, it is always required. No matter what the minhag is, because of the value upon which it is based. As the Rashba says, and that's why he doesn't mention minhag in nechiyuv to build a wall in chatzer, because you have to. That's not based on minhag. Only what you use to build a wall could be based on aval gina ubika. Are people with me? I think I golded it. Shetalu osan v'mishnasenu b'minhag mamon hu mishum ayin hara. Those are only about ayin hara and dine mamonus. V'hare elu, I'm skipping a little bit, einon makpidin, and these people don't care. It's a minhag amakom shelo nagu urishayin, so it's permissible. I was hoping we would be able to assess, you know, more of the proofs back and forth of the Rashba and Rabbeinu Yonah. But before we conclude, having just said the Rashba, let's just take a step back and try to explain the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. And with this, we'll conclude for the day. Again, the Rabbeinu Yonah was the Rebbe of the Rashba. Why is it, let's say the Rashba thinks to be that we should be mechalik? Because when it comes to the Hezek Ri'iya of a Chatzer, that's a matter of Kedusha, Kedushas Yisrael, of Shechina, that is, communities can't do away with that. But Gina Bika, that's fine. Why is it that Rabbeinu Yonah holds that it is possible to be in a makom she'ein makpidin al hezek ri'ya, that there's no chiyuv to build a wall. If you want to say it's because he doesn't value or ascribe the same level of kedusha to hezek ri'ya as the Rashba, I'll tell you two things. One that I can prove and one that is just a hargasha that I have. The proof is that in the very next line, the Rashba, we know, takes hezek ri'ya very seriously. In the absence of a minhag, you have to follow very high standards for what the wall must be. Moreover, you imagine the Rashba spending time in the Beis Medrash of Rabbeinu Yonah was likely inspired, you know, by the way that he understood these concepts. They could have disagreements, but in terms of core hashkafic and halachic sensibilities, you would assume that whatever the Rashba was keyed in on, even if the Rashba formulated it in a much more acute and concrete way, that Rabbeinu Yonah may have had the same sense. So I think it goes back to a question that we've been raising all along, mamish, from the very beginning. Hezek Ria is very important. We paskin Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek. But we discussed what is the nature of the din of Hezek Ria. What happens, for example, if people live side by side and say nothing about it over time? Can we interpret silence when it comes to Hezek Ria as acquiescence? Or is it something she'en adam sovel, it's this ke adam ba'adam? What about that? Then we move to the next level. If you say that that doesn't work, because there is no explicit conversation between the two parties, what happens if there's explicit mechila? Can individuals be mochel their personal privacy or hezek ria to another individual? There, even those who might say chazaka doesn't work, mechila might work. That's the sheet of the Rambam. And the Sma recorded in Shulchan Aruch, that mechila, explicit mechila, maybe need a kinyan or aidin, that will work. Now we have a third question. What about a community, not individuals? A community decides they're not going to be makbid on hezek ria. Is that better? And therefore, a third level, right? Chazaka, mechila, makom shelo mak, shelo hikbid? Or is it worse?
Definitely worse.
So you might say it's worse because, like the Rashba, you're being goreng lehistal leishchinim. It's one thing if individuals, on their own terms, in an isolated circumstance, they're not telling the whole community to do it, but just them too. That's one thing if they're okay being mochel to each other. But a community, that's too much. But you actually might say the exact opposite, and here's why. When it comes to hardcore, objective, and concrete isurim, the law is the law. But when it comes to something like tznius, it is inherently a more subjective type of isur. In other words, what's considered tznius to one may not be considered tznius to another. It's a much more complicated topic, and I did say I would end 2 minutes ago, or 5 minutes ago, that I would end in 2 minutes. But suffice it to say that there certainly are types of tznius that are objective. There are matters of privacy that are sacrosanct and that can't be debated. But there, we all understand that from community to community, the nature and standards of privacy change. On a kibbutz, for example, the perception of what is considered private is different than it would be in a very isolated, gated, fenced-in, private community, where everyone's personal property is seen as a matter of privacy. Every little thing is privacy. Drawing the line is important, and that doesn't mean that there should be the entire barriers of personal privacy should be negated. But we can understand that if a community decides that they're going to live a more collective lifestyle, then what we're really saying, in other words, is makom shein makpidin. They're not. It's not that they don't think hezek ria is a value, but they're not makpid on the privacy such that the need for a wall becomes a matter of nezikin. Hezek ria shmei hezek. And if that's the case, we could explain why Rabbeinu Yonah, even when it comes to hezek ria, even if hezek ria as a value is important, it could be that the community is just choosing to live a less domestic and a more public life. It's kind of like when people have a share, it's like a corporation, where private ownership is really public. And I think that is a very legitimate way of explaining the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah, and really touches on what the nature of privacy is. Not that the value of privacy Rabbeinu Yonah thinks is you cannot compromise on. But what is considered private and public could really depend on the expectations of the community and the nature of communal life in that particular society. Next time we'll pick up Shita's Rambam, and that will be our last topic of the semester. What is that?